we have a very strong responsibility to be stewards of our water resources, because everything starts up high and flows downhill. And that's both financial resources as well as water, melting snow.
This is Sarah Johnson, founder of Wild Rose Education and the Youth Water Leadership Summit.
And the Youth Water Leadership Program is a lot of things, but its big signature event is the Healthy Rivers Youth Water Summit.
On December 11th, the Youth Water Leadership Program will have its fourth annual summit virtually to showcase students from across Western Colorado who have completed projects about water and climate issues.
I think anytime students can engage in learning that is around something that they care about genuinely, they are going to be much more interested in learning and doing the hard work it takes to learn. And so I think this program really emphasizes the student concerns.
And over the few years that this program has been active, passionate students have come to the table to encourage environmental stewardship and accountability in our community.
So essentially, I'm looking at data from the last couple decades of the mainstream Rifle Creek.
This is Garen, a senior at Glenwood Springs High School. His project is focused on collecting water samples and assessing their mineral composition so that we can get a better picture of pollution in Rifle Creek.
And my project is basically taking samples of water and soil along the stream.
It seems that Garen is particularly worried about this local water source and the impact that human activity has had in the area. Having worked around Rifle Creek as a landscaper and a rancher, he has seen it firsthand.
I'm expecting to see a lot more pollutants the further downstream you go, because after it leaves the reservoir, it passes through a stretch of private property. They're mostly ranch and farmland, and then it passes through town. And I used to do landscaping in Rifle, and you could see where like oil has slipped into the river. People are just throwing trash into the river. So I'm expecting there to be a lot more pollutants by the time it reaches the Colorado River compared to when it's just coming out of the reservoir.
Rifle Creek has already been deemed a troubled watershed, and Garen's mission is to find out where the problem starts.
That river, or stream, sorry, was placed on the 303D list, which is basically a troubled watershed because of higher than usual selenium amounts. It's more erosive to the soil around it, as well as any man-made infrastructure that has been placed along the stream.
Garen is not alone in his concern. Tristan Maker, a senior at Roaring Fork High School, is also collecting data samples from local reservoirs, but he's looking for a much different type of pollutant.
So my project was conducting research for the Great Microplastic Survey along the shoreline of three local reservoirs with significantly high recreational use at approximately 8,000 feet in elevation in the Colorado River headwaters. There's a lot more of them on the beaches, but I thought it'd be an interesting idea to try it on some of our local reservoirs, especially the ones that get high amounts of recreational use and human contact, and see what it's like.
Microplastics have been a popular topic among students in the program. Last year, Katie and Kay spoke with sophomores in the Youth Water Leadership Program who were frustrated by the lack of comprehensive research on microplastics in Colorado. While those students pleaded with the state to fund and conduct this research, Tristan was preparing to do some of those tests himself.
The whole purpose of this project was to discover microplastics found in our local reservoirs. And based on my research, none were found.
Tristan's results this year are mostly good news, but his observations are still concerning.
I've made the assumption that our overall state of our reservoirs are microplastic free. However, there was some evidence that could change this in the future. I discovered countless amounts of trash when I was at all three of the places I tested. Food wrappers, you know, fishing bobbers coming from boats or, you know, other recreational devices. And those are all pieces of plastic. Really, when we examine the life cycle of microplastics and where they really start and come from, the majority of them all start from large pieces of plastic that just slowly get broken up into dozens of smaller pieces and then, like, infect the environment. So we may not have microplastics in our reservoir now, but if we continue to contribute to the pollution and mistreated waste in our ecosystem, it's likely that over time microplastics can start to make an impact and an appearance.
Tristan may have found our local reservoirs to be microplastic free. However, that's not the case for all of Colorado's water. In August 2019, Gregory Weatherby, a United States geological researcher, published a study about finding microplastics in rainwater in Rocky Mountain National Park. Microplastics were identified in more than 90% of the samples he took across the Front Range. The largest concentration was found in sites closer to urban areas. But Weatherby also found plastic fibers in Lokvale in Rocky Mountain National Park, which is over 10,000 feet. The Youth Water Leadership students are definitely onto something. They aren't just exploring environmental issues for a grade in their classroom. They are contributing to real-world research beyond the boundaries of their school walls. For KDNK News and the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, I'm Hallie Zander.